Hello, my name is Chuck Porritt. Welcome to my secondary website and to this video titled Honoring Samson. Samson is a biblical character found in the Old Testament book of Judges, chapters 13 through 16. He was a judge in Israel who lived around 1150 BC. Samson is primarily remembered for his supernatural strength. The Spirit of God would come upon him at various times and he would display miraculous power. The secret of Samson's strength was that God had told him, "Do not cut your hair." Samson is often portrayed in literature as a very muscular man, but I think that this is untrue for two reasons. First of all, the power that Samson exhibited far exceeds anything that human muscles can do. No amount of time spent in the gym can accomplish what Samson accomplished. Not only did he kill a young lion that attacked him with his bare hands, but he tore that young lion to pieces. Not only did he kill 1,000 Philistine soldiers in hand-to-hand combat, but he did it with the jawbone of a dead donkey. Not only did he tear a gate and its framework out of a city wall, but he then carried that apparatus across country for many miles to his own homeland. And finally, he not only pushed a couple pillars out from underneath a Philistine temple, but he did it with such explosive force that all of the thousands of Philistines on the roof and within the temple were killed, along with Samson himself. Secondly, there's a principle that we often encounter in God's word, and that is that God often chooses to reveal his power through weak or normal people. And so I'm open to the possibility that Samson might have looked just like any other man. Many preachers and commentators describe Samson as a moral and spiritual failure. This is because, number one, Samson interacted with three different women during his life. The first two of these women were Philistine women, while the third, Delilah, may have been one of his own Israelite people. And so these commentators have chosen to describe Samson as a man driven by his lusts. Secondly, Samson did something that was warned against in God's word. He touched dead things, making himself ritually unclean. Samson ate honey from a beehive that had formed in the carcass of the lion that he'd killed earlier. And he used the jawbone of a dead donkey to kill 1,000 Philistine soldiers. Lastly, Samson's final humiliation at the hands of the Philistines is described as the consequence of his own foolishness and moral weakness. It is my purpose in this video, however, to contradict these claims and to give Samson the honor that he deserves. Before I begin my explanation, let me first point out two things about Samson. Number one, Samson is one of only five men in the Bible who were miraculously conceived in their mother's womb. The first was Isaac, born to Abraham and Sarah. The second was Samson. The third was the prophet Samuel. The fourth was John the Baptist. And the fifth was the Lord Jesus Christ, who was conceived in the womb of a virgin. If Samson was a failure, then he is the only one amongst these five men who was. Secondly, Samson is listed in the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 32, as a hero of the faith. The real key to understanding Samson's life is to look at the logical order of the three separate phases of his interactions with the Philistines. When we consider the chain of these phases, we begin to recognize God's hand at work throughout the entire length of Samson's life. Samson's first interaction with the Philistines began when he sought a Philistine wife. This phase ended with Samson killing 1,000 Philistine soldiers who had come to Israel to arrest him. The outcome of this event was that Israel and the Philistines were now equals. The Philistines could no longer bully the Israelites. The Philistines discovered that the Israelites now had a champion in their land who could not be defeated, and so peace followed. And Samson then judged Israel for 20 years. After those 20 years of peace, Samson's second interaction with the Philistines began. He went into the Philistine city of Gaza and hid in the house of a prostitute. Before we go any further, we need to understand that the description of Samson's entrance into that house is very much like the description in Joshua chapter 2 of the Israelite spies who hid in a prostitute's house in Jericho. The Bible says nothing about sexual activity in either situation. Commentators simply assume this in regard to Samson. Samson's stay in that house ended at midnight when he tore the main gate and its framework out of the Gaza city wall and then carried them many miles to a place near Hebron, a major city of Israel. The first outcome of this event was that now both the Philistines and Israel knew that Israel was not only equal to the Philistines, but possessed the gates of the Philistines. Through Samson, Israel could attack the Philistines and overwhelm them at any time without warning. They now ruled over the Philistines. The second outcome of this event was that the Philistines became desperate to learn the secret of Samson's strength. And this also was something that God had planned. God would use this Philistine desperation in Samson's final interaction with them. Sometime later, Samson's third and final interaction with the Philistines began. Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah, who lived in the border country between Israel and the Philistines. And Samson committed himself to that relationship with his whole heart. He shared the secret of his strength with Delilah, his uncut hair, as a proof to her of his willingness to genuinely love and trust her. In this relationship with Delilah, God was accomplishing two things. Firstly, God was giving the world a picture of his own relationship with mankind in the Garden of Eden. In Eden, our Creator, the Son of God, revealed the secret of his strength to mankind and made himself vulnerable in his relationship with us. Secondly, God was giving the world a picture of Jesus Christ's self-sacrifice on the cross so that he might bring down the kingdom of Satan while providing salvation for his people. These claims prompt two questions. Number one, how was Samson's relationship with Delilah a picture of God and mankind in Eden? First, we must begin by understanding that the secret of God's strength and the foundation of his coming kingdom is righteousness. In Eden, God made a knowledge of right and wrong available to us within a special tree, the tree of the knowledge of right and wrong. He then gave mankind one simple commandment: do not eat the fruit of that tree and learn right from wrong. Instead, God was commanding us to exercise faith, to simply believe him concerning the issue of morality, warning us that if we disobeyed, we would be committing a crime deserving of death. What was God's plan? God's command that we believe and obey him summed up the first five of Moses' Ten Commandments, to acknowledge, love, and honor our Creator. And God's plan was that as we fulfilled this primary requirement of godliness through faith, he would enter our bodies through the Holy Spirit and share his own character with us. God's own love would flow out of our hearts toward our fellow man, giving us a divine righteousness that loves our neighbor and fulfills the second five of Moses' Ten Commandments. Mankind would experience, as the Apostle Peter described in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, becoming partakers of the divine nature. But Adam, being enticed by the possibility of unlimited visual pleasure, physical pleasure, and self-glorification that the forbidden fruit represented, disbelieved and disobeyed God. Adam had been warned about death, and so Adam would have to be convinced that he would not die if he disobeyed God. What was it that made him believe that he could disregard God's warning? The logic of Adam's decision was based upon two powers that he believed the forbidden fruit would give him. Number one, the power to produce his own righteousness, to make good choices and to reject bad ones. This righteousness achieved through a knowledge of right and wrong is described in the Bible as the works of the law, people laboring to achieve righteousness through their knowledge of right and wrong. The second power that Adam believed he would obtain would be the power to tempt other people, deceiving them, causing them to stumble morally, and using every possible scheme to bring them to sin. Adam's plan for his own justification was not only based upon his ability to do righteous things, but upon his ability to prevent anybody else from being more righteous than he was. Adam believed that by using the secret of God's strength, a knowledge of right and wrong, he would be able to confront God on a moral plane as an equal. to force God to either compromise with him regarding the definition of sin or to condemn and destroy human beings that he loves while admitting defeat. The Bible declares that just as Delilah betrayed Samson for money, so all of mankind joined Adam in betraying God for all that money can buy: unrestrained pleasure, pride, and lust. So how is Samson's death a picture of the death of Christ? The Son of God became a man and entered our world. He then fully obeyed God's law through faith and being filled with the Holy Spirit. At the same time, he submitted himself to the power of mankind's moral knowledge. He was subjected to mankind's agenda, just as Samson had been blinded and compelled to serve the Philistines. Jesus exposed himself to every deception, temptation, and moral challenge that could be thrown at him by both Satan and humanity. This testing of his obedience reached its peak upon the cross, as the people for whom he was dying tormented Jesus physically and emotionally. But he would not let his enemies use their knowledge of right and wrong to turn his heart toward bitterness and hatred. He fulfilled his Father's will when he died lovingly for his enemies. This is why he is called the Lamb of God. Having fulfilled every righteous requirement of God's law and having withstood every trial and testing of his heart, in his death, Jesus brought Satan's kingdom crashing down forever, while he made deliverance possible for his enemies. It now remains for us to choose to either continue to use our knowledge of right and wrong in our Philistine warfare against God, or to do what the author of the book of Hebrews describes: to condemn our dead works of self-righteousness and to believe God. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, the prophet wrote that because of his humility, the Lord Jesus would be perceived by people as being struck by God and afflicted. In a similar way, many have viewed Samson as a man struck by God and afflicted. But Samson's gentleness with Delilah was not foolishness, it was the will of God. And Samson's death, like the death of the Savior whom he portrayed, was not a defeat. It was a powerful revelation of the glorious victory of the Son of God over an alliance of Satan and mankind who believed that they could use a knowledge of right and wrong to bring down that kingdom of God.